Welcome to the morning show, everybody. I am Andrea Lewis.
And I'm Philip Muldery. And we're going to be speaking with
Medea Benjamin,
Noam Chomsky,
Congresswoman Barbara Lee,
Isabel Allende,
Thomas Mapfumo,
Josh Kornbluth,
Russell Simmons,
Howard Zinn,
Elmaz Abinader,
Maxine Waters,
Natalie Goldberg,
Michael Moore,
Carmen Lomas Garza,
Ossie Davis.
All that on the morning show.
So I hope you can stay with us. Promises to be very exciting.
Join us Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m. here on KPFA, listener-sponsored grassroots community radio.
And you are listening to 94.1 KPFA in Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. The time is 1 minute past 2 o'clock. Stay tuned next for Guns and Butter.
I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is Guns and Butter. We have a very special show for you today. Today on Guns and Butter is David Ray Griffin Day. And, of course, this is a fundraiser for KPFA. We're going to play the first part of an interview that I did with him, and I want to let everyone know ahead of time that we're going to be joined in the studio live for the second half of the show with a couple of your favorite Guns and Butter guests, Jim Hoffman from Your Eyes Don't Lie, and also Ralph Schoenman and myself, and we'll have a good discussion about this 9/11 material in the second half, so stay tuned.
There's something happening here.
Yeah, yeah.
What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man over there,
yeah, that's right.
Telling me I got to be aware.
This is Guns and Butter.
There's something happening, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there.
People just need to learn the history and realize that 3,000 lives taken on 9/11. In terms of the kind of cost-benefit analysis that the military is trained to do and that the CIA is trained to do, this was a very, what they would call, high cost-benefit operation. When you look at Vietnam, that enterprise, you're talking about tens of thousands of Americans killed, tens of thousands were sacrificed. So to kill 3,000 on 9/11, given that kind of mindset that thinks in those terms, this was not a bad price to pay.
I'm Bonnie Faulkner. Today on Guns and Butter, David Ray Griffin. David Ray Griffin was professor of philosophy and religion at the Claremont School of Theology for 31 years. He is author of The New Pearl Harbor, Disturbing Questions About the Bush Administration and 9/11, which has become an underground classic. David Ray Griffin's latest book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, takes a critical look at the official 9/11 report. Griffin argues that omissions and distortions in the official report amount to a cover-up by government officials. He says that the available evidence suggests that the Bush administration was complicit in the attacks of September 11th. David Ray Griffin, welcome.
Glad to be here.
I wanted to begin by thanking you for writing The New Pearl Harbor, your book about the events of 9/11. You have everything there about 9/11 that a person would really need or want to know, and I also wanted to thank you for not shying away from the more controversial aspects of the events of 9/11. I understand that you have now completed a new book on the 9/11 Independent Commission. What's the name of the new book, and what's that new book about?
Well, actually, I no longer call it the 9/11 Independent Commission. I just call it the 9/11 Commission. The book is titled The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. And so I go through various parts of the 9/11 Commission Report and deal with it from a particular angle, that is, from the angle that you would expect the author of The New Pearl Harbor to raise, that is, did the 9/11 Commission do anything to lessen the suspicion of people that the Bush administration actually permitted or even arranged the events of 9/11. Unfortunately, I found that far from persuading me that they did not, the 9/11 Commission report strengthened my conviction that they did.
Now, the 9/11 Commission report, I understand from you, is now a bestseller. It's a big book, and you've thoroughly gone through this, and your new book is a response to the Commission findings and the proposals. Isn't that right?
I don't actually respond to the proposals. That's what most other people have done. They focused on the last part of the book. I do point out that the proposals presuppose the Commission's analysis of why those attacks occurred. Their analysis basically is that the 9/11 attacks could succeed because there was no one in charge. And so that leads to their recommendation that we need this real czar of intelligence who would be in charge of it all. Unfortunately for that position, that the 9/11 Truth Movement suspects that 9/11, the attacks could happen because someone was in charge. That is, someone was in charge who was able to order a stand down of normal military procedures that day. And so in that sense, I deal with the proposal by saying that the analysis that the proposal is based on is most probably highly false.
Well, David, in that vein, it seemed to me that the Commission began its so-called investigation, well, actually with a conclusion, the government's narrative of what happened on 9/11. It seemed to start from a conclusion that Osama bin Laden and some Arab terrorists pulled off 9/11. Was the government's narrative about what happened that day ever even investigated by the Commission? Or did they accept that as a premise?
In the public discussion of President Bush and then Chairman Kaine, when there was this resistance, when the White House was not giving information to the Commission, Chairman Kaine said, there are a lot of theories about what happened on 9/11, and any information that relates to any of those theories, we must have. And so he was saying, in effect, if the White House doesn't give up the material, these are the presidential daily briefings, we will subpoena them. And yet, they did not look at all the information relating to the various theories, as you suggest. They began with the premise that Al-Qaeda operatives under the guidance of Osama bin Laden single-handedly carried off 9/11. They never investigated any alternative theory. And of course, there is one dominant alternative theory, which is that the government itself cooperated or arranged for the events to happen. And that is never once raised in the Commission report. Also, there are many books, besides my book, The New Pearl Harbor, there are many other books already in English and many other books in other languages arguing this case. Philip Zelikow, who is the director of the research for the Commission, is a trained historian. He's written many books. He knows when you begin any new subject, you do a review of the literature. You say, here's what other scholars have said. Now, maybe we're going to refute them, but we will refute them. The 9/11 Commission report does not mention a single book that presents the alternative theory.
No, David, I asked the same question I just asked you of Slate Gordon when he was in San Francisco giving a public presentation on the findings. And the question was, why did you begin with a conclusion? And he said, because they did it. So they began, it seems to me, with a conclusion. So how could it even be considered an investigation? Members of the commission are traveling the country to promote the proposals that the commission is making in order to, quote, fix the intelligence problem or the intelligence failure. In your opinion, is the 9/11 Commission findings being used to orchestrate the setting up of a police state here domestically in the United States?
I don't know. I can't really comment on that. What I can comment on is simply the question of whether the American public can believe the 9/11 Commission report. Having studied certain parts of it, I have not studied the whole book. I mean, I've read the whole book, but I can't say I've studied the whole book. But I've studied certain parts of it that I know something about very carefully. Some people ask me, well, are there any things in the report that are untrue? My question at this stage is there anything in the report that is true?
Did you find anything in there that was true?
Certainly there are some true sentences if you take them out of context, but when you realize that a sentence is part of a paragraph, which is part of an argument, at least in any case where it's something that I was dealing with that had to do with, has the commission refuted any of the questions? As you say, I summarize in the New Pearl Harbor dozens of questions that other researchers had come up with, facts that seem to contradict the official theory. Has the commission done anything to undermine any of those dozens of arguments? Not a single one.
The commission report is a very thick book. What are they claiming, in a nutshell, happened? Are they basically claiming what the government explained happened?
There are two major parts to the book, you can say, that on the one hand, again, with regard to this question of dealing with the kinds of questions the 9/11 Truth Commission has asked, there are questions about the hijackers. Did the government really know the identity of the hijackers? And they don't even mention the fact that six of the hijackers have been proven to be still alive. They deal with the World Trade Center without even mentioning that Building 7 collapsed, this 47-story building. They don't deal with the fact that all three buildings collapsed at free fall speed, as if they had been brought down by controlled demolition. So time after time after time, they simply omit vital parts, even though they began the book by saying, we set out to give the most complete possible account of the events surrounding 9/11. And yet they systematically omit all the events and all the reports relating to 9/11 that would tend to suggest government conspiracy. And when they don't completely omit them, they distort the facts.
David, in your view, who benefited from the events of 9/11?
That's always a good question, because the old question of any crime is the cui bono, who benefits. And one thing the commission did was, again, systematically omit any reference to facts that would suggest the government itself, the Bush administration itself, had motives of the scale that might lead them to bring off such a horrendous event. I refer to their ambitions in Afghanistan, which were well known, that they were all set to go to war. They had announced that the war would start in October before the snows came. They had announced that in July of 2001. The commission does not mention any of that. It does not mention the fact that members of the Bush administration, while they were out of office, Pearl, Wolfowitz, Cheney, Rumsfeld, belonged to this organization that argued that we need to attack Iraq for its oil. From reading the 9/11 Commission report, you would get no idea that Iraq, the fact that it's the second country in the world with second largest oil reserves, that was a factor whatsoever. They don't mention the fact that they wanted to get greatly increased funding for the U.S. Space Command to weaponize space, that this might cost in the order of $1 trillion no mention whatsoever of these things that would have provided motives of a scale that might lead the government deliberately to murder many thousands of its own citizens to provide pretext to get this additional funding and get the pretext to go to war.
Isn't that the subject of the second half of your new book, The Weaponization of Space? I know in your first book, or your book on 9/11, The New Pearl Harbor, you talk about a vision for 2020, which has to do with the weaponization of space, and the three major characters on that report, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld,
Chairman of the
Chairman
Joint Chiefs
of Staff,
yeah.
Richard Myers,
yeah.
And then, of course, Richard Eberhardt, who at that time was the commander of NORAD during the time of 9/11. Now, does the second half of your new book address this weaponization of space?
No, I don't address it except to point out that it's an interesting coincidence that those three people you just mentioned, Generals Myers and Eberhardt and then Donald Rumsfeld, were widely known as the three major advocates of the U.S. Space Command and of the need to give it increased funding in the order of many, many billions of dollars. And yet these were the same three people who were in charge of America's defenses on 9/11. Many people looking at standard operating procedures for dealing with possibly hijacked airplanes say it looks like there was a stand-down order. And also, it looks like Flight 93 was actually shot down by the government after it looked like the passengers might get control of the airplane and bring it down safely. And so, if the same three people who were in charge of America's defenses ended up then getting greatly increased funding, and that happened on the night of 9/11 itself, you would have thought Donald Rumsfeld would have been devastated that the Pentagon, which everybody had thought was just impenetrable, had been attacked for the first time in history. He should have been devastated. And yet, he was on message and on camera. He said to Senator Carl Levin, who was then at the time the chair of the Armed Services Committee, he said, "Senator Levin, you have been telling us we don't have the money to give more money to the military and particularly to the Space Command, even if we have to take it out of Social Security. Does this sort of thing convince you?" So on the very evening of 9/11, Rumsfeld was already using 9/11 to get the money for his project. And he had been chair of the Rumsfeld Commission, which just in January of 2001 had given this proposal and had said in there, "We hope America will be wise enough to give us funding for this before we have some sort of catastrophe."
I'm speaking with author and theologian David Ray Griffin about his latest book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is Guns and Butter. Could you talk about the setting up of the Saudis as being responsible for 9/11? Aren't the Saudis junior partners of the United States?
This is a very complex question, and it's one of the many questions that I just say, frankly, I don't know what was going on, and that's why both of my books are calls for real investigations by people who are really independent. Because on the one hand, it does look like the Saudis are being set up. Remember, if Iraq has the world's second largest oil reserves, Saudi Arabia has the oil reserves of the world. And the United States does seem bent on getting control of the oil. And so many people think that this whole legend about the 19 Arab hijackers, 15 of whom were allegedly Saudis, is part of a long-range plan to set them up in the long run for invasion. I don't know, because on the other side of the story, there's a lot of information that Saudis were actually funding al-Qaeda, and we knew it, and the 28 pages that are deleted from the joint inquiry Remember, the House and the Senate Intelligence Committees did a joint inquiry and finally got their material published, but the government wouldn't publish it without blocking out 28 pages. Now, Senator Bob Graham, who was one of the co-chairs of that inquiry, says that those 28 pages dealt with Saudi Arabian financing of Al-Qaeda. And other books, particularly Craig Unger's book, also shows significant Saudi funding and a concerted effort on the part of the Bush administration to cover this up. And clearly, the 9/11 Commission sought to cover up all this. They would shamelessly say, we have found no evidence whatsoever of Saudi or any other foreign government funding of this, when they already had the Joint Inquiry's report that showed beyond any question that there had been Saudi funding. Now, maybe they were literally true and telling the truth when they say, we didn't find any funding. He might have meant, well, we didn't have to find it. We already knew that there was funding. But whatever the case, it was deception telling the American people there's no credible evidence of Saudi funding. So it's a very mixed picture. On the one hand, it looks like they're setting up the Saudis, but certainly in the short run, they're protecting Saudi Arabia from any accusation.
You mentioned funding from Saudi Arabia for Al-Qaeda. Isn't it true that Al-Qaeda received funding from the United States and also from the Pakistani intelligence services, the ISI? Weren't both Al-Qaeda and the Taliban set up or created by the CIA?
Basically correct, certainly with Saudi help and some other help, but primarily. And another thing the commission doesn't tell you is that they say we went into Afghanistan for peace and human rights, and it was because the Taliban were so horrible. Well, they were horrible, but for a long time it didn't bother us a bit. It only bothered us when the Taliban became an impediment to UNICAL and this consortium they had set up, wanting to put in the pipeline project to bring the oil and gas down from the Caspian Sea region to the Indian Ocean. And at that time, we suddenly got very exercised about Taliban atrocities. So there's no discussion of any of this in the commission report that we were there to get the pipeline to go through. So again, the commission is just something that cannot be taken as history.
Could you talk a little bit more about 9/11 as a war pretext incident? There's been a whole history of war pretext incidents in the United States. Isn't that true?
There has been a long history. We're sitting here in California. We stole this from the Mexicans by deliberately fabricating an incident where we were in on their property and then they were accused of shedding American blood on American property. Congressman at the time named Abraham Lincoln called this a shameless lie. Likewise, when we took over Cuba, the Philippines, and Hawaii, and a few other islands, Puerto Rico and Guam and so on, there was a battleship there in the harbor just put down there for nobody knows quite why. And there was a big explosion on the battleship. This, of course, the battleship Maine, and everybody knows the slogan, remember the Maine, the hell with Spain. It's still a mystery exactly what happened, but we certainly used it as an incident and accused Spain falsely of having blown up the Maine. It's the last thing Spain would have done. Likewise, the war in the Philippines the following year was started by an incident that the soldier in charge admitted that he was told to start the war as an incident and so on. And more recently, people know about the Gulf of Tonkin, that those events never happened, which were really when the Vietnam War went full scale. So there is a long history, and there's also the famous or notorious Operations Northwoods document. When General Eisenhower was just about to leave office, he desperately wanted to invade Cuba to get rid of Fidel Castro, but time ran out. The plan passed over to President Kennedy, But then there was the little Bay of Pigs fiasco. Kennedy took Cuban planning away from the CIA, gave it to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They came in with this plan, which would involve killing American citizens and blaming the Cubans as a pretext to invade Cuba. Kennedy turned it down. Another president might have accepted it. But those documents have now been published, and many people know about them through James Bamford's work, House of Secrets, about the National Security Agency. So there is a long history of planning, fabricating incidents. There's a whole question about the original Pearl Harbor, which I don't go into in my book, but certainly Robert Stinnett has made a very strong claim for the old idea, but he gives much more evidence for it, that we knew full well that those attacks were coming, and in fact that we actually squeezed the Japanese until they believed they had no choice but to make that preemptive attack. So yes, there is a very long history. So many people who reject the idea that there could be any kind of conspiracy do it on an a priori basis. They say, well, our government would never do such a thing. Our military, they're so protective of human rights and the precious sacredness of every human life. They would never do anything like this. Well, people just need to learn the history and realize that 3,000 lives taken on 9/11, in terms of the kind of cost-benefit analysis that the military is trained to do and that the CIA is trained to do, this was a very, what they would call, high cost-benefit operation. When you look at Vietnam, that enterprise, you're talking about tens of thousands of Americans killed after we knew the war was futile, after we knew we could not win, and we were simply fighting to save American credibility. Tens of thousands were sacrificed. So to kill 3,000 on 9/11, given that kind of mindset that thinks in those terms, this was not a bad price to pay.
What evidence have you uncovered that the attacks of 9/11 were actually planned far before the Bush administration even took office?
I don't go into that very much. You mentioned Pakistanis before and the ISI. And to come back to that, there is an enormous amount of evidence that the Pakistani ISI, their equivalent of the CIA, which, as you say, was set up by our CIA and had stayed in close relationships with, was heavily involved in 9/11. The very chief of the ISI was in Washington meeting with the head of the CIA, George Tenet, the whole week prior to 9/11. Secondly, we learned that he had ordered $100,000 to be wired from another ISI agent to Mohammed Atta shortly before 9/11. When this word came out after India exposed it, we then, the American government, got the Pakistani government to quietly dismiss Mahmoud Ahmad, the head of the ISI. So here you have clear evidence of foreign government funding. The 9/11 Commission had to know this. It was reported in an editorial in the Wall Street Journal, of all places. And for them to say, we have seen no evidence. They didn't say, we've seen no credible evidence. They said, we've seen no evidence whatsoever, none to refute. And so, an amazing amount of evidence of that kind of involvement. And of course, that's extremely dangerous, because if the ISI is involved, and then people know the ISI and the CIA are like that, that could suggest, oh, the CIA was involved. And so, these are, again, more parts of the complete story about 9/11 that, if you read the 9/11 report, you don't get an inkling of. And this is a tragedy, because the commission is relying on the fact that they can assume that the American public doesn't know these things. And it's true, they don't, because our press doesn't reveal them, other than alternative radio, such as your own show. And so if you go on Amazon.com and look at the customer reviews of 9/11, the 9/11 Commission report, you find almost all in five-star reviews. And people saying things like, now we know the truth. Now we finally know what happened on 9/11. And other people say, you know, it's a great read. It reads just like a novel. Well, it is a novel. And if it were advertised as fiction, I would have no objection to it. But unfortunately, it's advertised as the truth about what happened on 9/11, and it clearly is not that.
In your book, The New Pearl Harbor, you go back to 1999,
yeah,
and you mention an agent for the ISI, for the Pakistani ISI, who actually predicted in 1999 at a dinner that, what was it, quote, those towers will come down.
Yes, this was an FBI informer, Randy Glass, was there and recording this, and this it was set up as a arms deal, and so they were in sight of the towers, and this fellow, and I cite this in the book, in both books, says, yes, those towers are coming down. So people who worry about George Bush have to understand that it's more than likely that this operation was planned long before anybody knew that George Bush was going to be president. So it's not George Bush that we have to worry about. It's the administration, it's the really the gang that he is the front for.
I'm speaking with author and theologian David Ray Griffin about his latest book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is Guns and Butter.
Yes, you've just been listening to the first part of an interview I did with David Ray Griffin. I'm Bonnie Faulkner. This is Guns and Butter. Today's a fundraiser, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun today. I've got two of my favorite guests from Guns and Butter joining me live. I think they're your favorites, too. Jim Hoffman, local a person here in the Bay Area. You'll recall the shows Jim and I did together, the Your Eyes Don't Lie, Common Sense, Physics, and the World Trade Center Collapses. And, of course, he's got his marvelous original and creative website, www.wtc7.net. Welcome, Jim. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
And also, Guns and Butter favorite, Ralph Schoenman of Taking Aim. Welcome, Ralph.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Well, this is a fundraiser, and we're hoping that the supporters of Guns and Butter will come through for us today and pledge their support, renew their subscriptions to KPFA today on Guns and Butter. You can do that. We're offering a thank you gift for you today if you do pledge today. We have a two CD set for a $100 pledge. An hour-long speech by David Ray Griffin, and then again my hour-long interview with him, that for a very generous pledge of $100. And also we have an 80-minute CD recording of his very latest speech in Madison, Wisconsin, along with the Q&A afterwards, that as a thank-you gift for $75. And, of course, $25 makes you a member of KPFA, and, of course, a donation in any amount is very greatly appreciated. I hope you'll get us started here by giving us a call at 1-800-439-5732. That's 1-800-439-5732. Or if you live locally here in the Bay Area, 510-848-5732. We want to have a discussion about 9/11, about a lot of different topics. I've got a couple of 9/11 experts here to help me out today. Give us a call, 1-800-439-5732. Jim, you're actually reading David Ray Griffin's book, aren't you? The one that he was discussing, the
Omissions and Distortions.
Exactly. What do you think of his book?
Oh, I think it's excellent. It has two major parts. The first provides all the analyzes the omissions and distortions of the report in general, and the second part reviews the way that they adjusted the official timeline of the response to the military response, or rather non-response to the attack, in order to absolve the military of responsibility. So it's a very detailed analysis, and it thoroughly deconstructs the report.
All right.
Ralph?
Well, you know, Bonnie, as we discussed when we were analyzing those hearings on Guns and Butter, every aspect of the history pertaining to the events of 9/11 is fabricated by this commission, and that has to do with all of the participants, Republicans and Democrats alike. I'm talking here about every event that's occurred which is attributed to Osama bin Laden and to Al-Qaeda, namely the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, of course, and the attacks, even of the attacks in Berlin, the Berlin discotheque, and the attacks that were made and attributed to Libya with respect to Pan Am 103, all these things retrospectively imputed to the terror network, when in fact the evidence is overwhelming that these, as we know, are false flag operations of the intelligence authorities themselves. Both on Guns and Butter and Taking Aim, we've examined the work of Viktor Ostrovsky, who is a former Mossad operative, The Other Side of Deception and By Way of Deception, which lays this all out. One of the interesting things about this work that David Ray Griffin has done is that it partakes of the understanding that all aspects of preparations for war have embraced every facet of the bureaucracy and the intelligence agencies and the military and both political parties. After all, when General Mahmoud, to whom Griffin refers, was visiting Washington, it's not just that he met with the National Security Council on the eve of 9/11. He also met with Portagas and the very Bob Graham that's mentioned there, who is the Democratic senator from Florida. And they conferred very carefully at the very moment that the funding of $100,000 was going into the account of Mohammed Atta. Mohammed Atta, who was trained at military bases in the United States along with six of his colleagues, we're talking now about Brooks Air Force Base and Maxwell Air Force Base, and right here in Monterey, California, the Defense Language Institute. The hands of intelligence and of all administrations over a considerable period of time are around these pretext events. Historically, they are exactly how they pursue. Every administration since 1964 has pursued an agenda for seizing oil in the Arab East and in Central Asia. In fact, the documents that put forward the notion that the U.S. needed to seize Central Asia and Middle Eastern oil occurred in 1974 and 1975 during the Carter administration. But what I really want to say here, because we don't need to replay much of the data that we do on Guns and Butter, is that this is the kind of information and this is the kind of programming that is essential for our listeners to support. And that's why we want people to pledge, and not just to secure the evidence provided so well and in summary by David Ray Griffin, but to secure support for this cutting-edge programming by calling 800-439-5732, 510-848-5732, because let's be straight about this, brothers and sisters. You know what time it is? The U.S. authorities are preparing the next event. Every day they promise us that there's going to be a biological attack. The next pandemic is going to be imposed upon us. The martial law that they outline, all parties supporting this, yesterday in the Senate, 100-0, the support, not just for the new funding for Iraq. It's not just a question of the $82 billion, but the provisions for martial law, the provisions for making a national ID, the provisions for demonizing any immigrants to the United States, all part of that package that was voted 100-0. You're not going to learn about this. You're not going to have it parsed, and you're not going to have it outlined, and the data won't be made available to you in established media and, frankly, in other programming. It's Guns and Butter, Taking Aim, Guns and Butter, that is cutting edge, going after this information at a moment of crisis. I think it's worth saying this, Bonnie, and I'll stop. It's rather like the time of the Weimar Republic. I saw the movie Cabaret just the other day. I mean, it's very evocative of the eve before the actual seizure of power of Adolf Hitler. The kind of denial into which people were falling, the decadence, and the failure to examine the realities of power, the actual day-to-day workings of it, the overwhelming evidence pertaining to it. It's as if people were living in another world. The world we live in, we need to talk about. We need to alert people to. We need to mobilize them about it. And that's what Guns and Butter does. And that's what the value of this kind of Truth to Power Free Speech Radio really is, to prepare, to alert, to inform, to arm people with critical information. 9/11 is the pus that reveals the infection in this entire system and body politic. We need to lance it by exposing it. That's what Guns and Butter does. That's what Jim Hoffman does. That's what the 9/11 Truth Alliance is doing. That's what Taking Aim is about. Please support this work.
Well said, Ralph. Please give us a call. Show the station your support for the programming that we bring you every week on Guns and Butter, that Jim Hoffman brings you, that Ralph Schoenman brings you, Maya Schoen, myself, Yara Mako. 1-800-439-5732, 1-800-439-5732, or 510-848-5732. For those of you who can pledge $150, we can give you all three CDs, the two CD set of David Ray Griffin's speech and interview, and the additional 80-minute CD of his most latest speech in Madison, Wisconsin, along with the questions and answers. All three CDs for $150. You can have the Madison speech and Q&A for a $75 pledge. Give us a call, 1-800-439-5732. We need you to call 1-800-439-5732. Please support the programming that we bring you every week on Guns and Butter. You know, Jim, I noticed that not only are you reading David Ray Griffin's latest book, but I noticed that you did listen to intently to his most latest speech, which, by the way, was broadcast on C-SPAN, of all places, and repeated. I was quite surprised at that when people said they were going to play that speech on C-SPAN. I didn't think they were going to do it, but they did. And I found that it's reaching a lot of people who otherwise are somewhat clueless.
Yes, it's really a historic moment, I think, that the truth about 9/11 is being spoken on mainstream media outlet like CNN books, and there's been no other mentions of that. There's even skeptics of the official story of 9/11 other than to ridicule it in the mainstream media. So to see David Ray Griffin speaking so directly to the fraudulence of the official reports about what happened in the attack, and providing such clear evidence that linking the attack to insiders in the Bush administration is really encouraging.
1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. You know, we've just been handed a match from the pledge room here. An anonymous donor from Menlo Park has put up a $1,000 match, and so we're going to have to work real hard in the last 15 minutes of the show to make that match, because we need your support. We need you to call in. We want to give you these gifts. A $25 donation makes you a member of KPFA. We are appreciative of donations in any amount. For $75, you can pick up the 80-minute CD of David Ray Griffin's most latest speech. Actually, this latest speech in Madison, Wisconsin, was given to a religious audience. And so he's reaching out and talking to a lot of people who otherwise would not only not know about this, but not really give it that much credence. And so he is popularizing this, and that is very important for us to support. Give us a call, 1-800-439-5732, 510-848-5732. Please help Jim Hoffman and Ralph Schoenman and myself, Bonnie Faulkner, meet this $1,000 match. That shows you how much people out there care about this kind of programming. And I just want to say, you're not going to hear this kind of programming anywhere else unless you live in New York City and you're listening to Taking Aim on WBAI, or unless you go to Jim Hoffman's great website, WTC7.net, where he has the greatest photos of the building's collapse. And actually, Jim has made a transcript, believe it or not, of the two-hour show we did together, Your Eyes Don't Lie. You know, Jim, back a year and a half ago when I first broadcast that interview with you on the physical evidence of 9/11, that created something of a sensation, because I don't think anybody had broadcast the physical evidence before. So I got incredible feedback on that. Give us a call. Support this work. 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732. Or 510-848-5732. We're getting people calling in now. That's fabulous. We appreciate your support.
And I'd like to point out that David Griffin's work has benefited from this radio show, because he cites that two-hour interview, Your Eyes Don't Lie, Physics, Common Sense, and the Collapse of the World Trade Center, in the revised edition of the New Pearl Harbor.
That's right. I'm glad you mentioned that, because I forgot about that, and I meant to mention that today. That was kind of fun, huh?
Oh, yeah.
To see our show in the footnotes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I think it's indicative of the fact, Bonnie, that the programming that we're doing here goes to the question of how power is organized in the society. A given administration passes, but the essential structure of power, where 1% control 90% of the national wealth, remains. And the entire apparatus of coercive control, the intelligence agencies and the military, is continuous. It is not a matter of one administration or another. It would be facile to think that it were. But we understand that the kind of information that people require to have before them touches upon the permanence of power in the hands of a very calculating few. They deploy the instruments of coercion in the state to pursue their aims, and their aims have nothing to do with the survival interests of the people in this country, or for that matter in the world. Indeed, we are targeted continuously, targeted through the preparation of such things as the clouds of secrecy documentation has revealed. All of this talk about biological weapons and terror, that the conspirators and the terrorists are about to deluge the world with pandemics, in fact has its origins not only in Fort Detrick, but in Laboratory 257 in Plum Island, where all of these viruses and these combatant viruses have been spawned and deployed as weapons of mass destruction from the authors of 9/11 at the centers of power in the United States. People are armed with information when they hear Guns and Butter. They are provided with the understanding that allows them to prepare for the struggles against this concentration of power and the terrible crimes that are forever associated with it. What David Ray Griffin and others are doing is enlarging an audience that you and I and Jim have been ardent in pursuing over a period of years, but with a frame of understanding, a framework that allows the structures of power to be identified for what they are. Because absent that, each crime is seen sui generis, as if it's unconnected to an abiding interest in preserving a form of rule that is antithetical to the vital interests of people in our country. Our programming, Guns and Butter, Taking Aim, this work needs your support, brothers and sisters, because it is not just a question of tuning in and tuning out. This is not a spectator sport. It requires engagement. And information is essential to that, not the diversions that deflect us from understanding what is before us, but the focused attention on the hard evidence and the analysis that informs it that this programming provides. Please support it. Please keep it going. Please keep it important in the life of Pacifica. That, too, is an issue of importance for our listeners, to keep this kind of cutting-edge information at the heart and soul of what free speech radio means. Absent that, we don't need the corporatization of media to extend to our own network, our own programming. Focus on what has to be done. That's the task.
That's right. Please give us a call. Please support this programming. 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732 or 510-848-5732. We're so lucky to live here in the Bay Area, to have KPFA, to have Guns and Butter, to have Jim Hoffman available, a 9/11 activist right here in the Bay Area, Ralph Schoenman, Maya Schoen, Yara Mako. I could go on. A list of 9/11 people who've been at it from the very beginning. 1-800-439-5732, 510-848-5732. We've got some open lines. We need to make that $1,000 match. Somebody's put up $1,000 because this kind of programming deserves to be supported. For a $100 pledge, you can have a 2-CD set of a speech by David Ray Griffin. It's a riveting speech, my hour-long interview with him. There's an additional CD for a $75 pledge, 80-minute-long audio, high-quality audio of his most recent speech in Madison, Wisconsin, along with Q&A from the audience. 1-800-439-5732. You can have all three CDs, the 2-CD set, and the single 80-minute CD. Our thank you gift for your pledge today of $150. Please keep those phones ringing. We've got four open lines. 1-800-439-5732. 510-848-5732. We have three open lines. I need three more people to call. It's so important for you to support Guns and Butter, to keep us on the air. We are volunteers, and I speak for myself. I'm sure I speak for Ralph. I speak for Jim Hoffman and a lot of other people. We work at this full-time as volunteers because we are faced with a crisis, and we don't have a lot of time left. So please, please give us your support. 1-800-439-5732, 510-848-5732. I want to thank Dudley Lewis in Santa Cruz. Thank you, Dudley. Jerry Craig in Oakland. Thank you. Aurelio de los Santos in Reedley. Thank you. Thank you so much. Holly Stevenson in San Rafael. Thanks for pledging today on Guns and Butter. What have you got there, Jim?
Oh, Thomas Durst in Ross. Thank you.
Big supporter of Guns and Butter.
Michael Costello in... Edward Garcia in Oakland, and David Ejams in Richmond.
Thanks, Jim. Keep the phones. Just a minute, Ralph. I've got to get that phone number out there. 1-800-439-5732, 510-848-5732.
Get that number out there, Bonnie, because I think, look, let's be very candid about this. It isn't just a question of providing information that the official media presumptively don't allow. The truth of the matter is that most of the information is to be found in the established media. It's the understanding of what it represents that is not there. It's the analysis that informs us of its significance. Let me just give two examples. Newsweek, George Wefferts, Catherine Skip, and John Barry. Five of the alleged hijackers of the plane used in Tuesday's terror attacks received their training at secure U.S. military installations. How about Washington correspondent Tom Carver of the BBC? The U.S. has targeted the entire Middle East. Syria, Saudi Arabia, and Egypt are next. The intellectual underpinning comes from Paul Wolfowitz, Deputy Secretary of Defense, shared by his boss, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, and by Vice President Cheney and the President, but prepared for by previous administrations. Now, that information is provided there, but the examination of its history, how it intersects with all of the structures of power, that's our job, and that's what you can't get elsewhere. And that's why I suggest to you, supporting this programming, keeping Guns and Butter on the air, keeping this cutting-edge analysis, which informs us of the meaning of these events and gives us the mechanisms for resistance, critical. Please keep the funding coming and supporting this programming, 510-848-5732. It's critical.
1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732. We've got a $1,000 match we have to make. I haven't gotten word from the pledge room that we have made it yet. We've got a few open lines. Please give us your support. This is so vitally important to support the programming, to show the station what you want to hear on your community radio station. After all, this is listener-supported radio. This is your station. And so when you make a pledge, it's nice to make it on the shows that you do support. Please give us a call, 1-800-439-5732. I want to make that match. Jim, what else do you think about David Ray Griffin's new book?
Let me talk a little bit about some of the omissions that he highlights regarding the collapse of the World Trade Center, because that's the core of the psychological trauma of the attack was the this unprecedented collapse. I call them explosions of the World Trade Center buildings, and there's no photographs of the collapses in the report, and it completely lies about the structure of these buildings, because the fact that these buildings had structural cores of 47 steel box columns that were 36 by 16 inches on a side completely invalidates the official story of the collapses. But in the official commission report, it describes the center of these buildings as, quote, a hollow steel shaft in which the elevators and stairwells were grouped. That's the level of lying that is endemic in this report. Also, the report fails to even mention the total collapse of the 47-story steel skyscraper, Building 7, the first case in history of an alleged collapse of a steel frame building, total collapse due to fire. And yet the report gets away without even mentioning it. So that's just the tip of the iceberg of the kinds of glaring omissions that one finds documented in that are in the report, that are not in the report, that is documented so meticulously in David Ray Griffin's book, Omissions and Distortions.
1-800-439-5732. We've got four open lines. We're getting a very good response. If you keep calling in, I think we're going to make this match. This is so very important. This is the first day of fundraising on Guns and Butter. I've got one or two more to go. I'm not sure, Ralph, but it's so very important that if you need to renew your pledge, either in the amount of $25 for a membership at KPFA, $75 for an 80-minute CD of David Ray Griffin's latest speech in Q&A, please give us a call, 1-800-439-5732. A generous pledge today to KPFA of $150. You get the two CD set of David Ray Griffin and the 80-minute CD. This is David Ray Griffin Day on Guns and Butter. Give us a call, please, 1-800-439-5732, 510-848-5732. Or 1-800-439-5732. I want to go out with a full bank of lights. We've got three open lines. Yes, Ralph, what were you going to say before I interrupted you?
How about the fact that all of this physical evidence surrounding the collapse of the World Trade Center was deep-sixed?
Another thing that's not mentioned at all in the report. This was the most unprecedented event ever in terms of it being the three largest and least understood structural failures in the history of the world, and yet the evidence was carted off, put it on barges, and shipped to yes. Asia to be melted down in blast furnaces, while the people that were supposedly doing the investigation weren't even allowed to see it.
That's been across the board, and every level of officialdom, city, state, and federal, both parties have embraced the disappearance of the evidence and the physical destruction of it. If ever there is the accessory after the fact guilt in response to a crime, it is evident in the behavior of all responsible nominal officials representing our population in this government. How about the events of the World Trade Center bombing in 1993, when it was in fact the FBI that provided the dynamite, that solicited the participants, that put forward the plans, that used its own operatives? That's in the New York Times and the Village Voice. But the implications are drawn on Guns and Butter. And that's the issue here, brothers and sisters. You have to support. I insist that it's essential to continue to support Guns and Butter, taking aim, and the kind of programming that connects the dots, that informs us, that allows us to understand where this has gone before, where it is going in the future, and what we can do about it now. Please call 1-800-439-5732, 510-848-5732. Keep the support going for this kind of programming and for this kind of understanding, so that we're not left naked before the onslaught that is every day and every minute of every day.
That's absolutely right, Ralph. It's very, very scary. And Ralph Schoenman spends full time doing research. He's right. All of this stuff is in the main news. But, boy, you have to read a lot of newspapers and do a lot of research to ferret it all out, put it together, have a political framework to present it to people so that it makes sense. And Ralph does that for you on a daily basis. He's a wonderful person, a great resource that we have here. Give us a call, 1-800-439-5732, 510-848-5732. We still have that $1,000 match. Looks like we still, we've got five open lines. I want to go out with a full board. Please show us your support. And I also wanted to mention, just in passing, with regard to the physical evidence, I remember in my interview with Jim Hoffman, the truck drivers who were trucking off the evidence were wired, and they had to go straight to the docks or wherever they were delivering the evidence and come straight back. And as I recall, one guy got fired because he stopped for lunch.
Taking too long of a lunch break. It's because they had GPS locators outfitted on all the trucks at $1,000 a pop to make sure that the evidence didn't go anywhere but to those barges.
Well, exploitation goes hand in hand with deceit and control. That's what it's all about, and that's what this programming is designed to expose. Please support it, brothers and sisters.
This is your last chance. I've got a few open lines. 1-800-439-5732. 1-800-439-5732. I just got the thumbs up from Sally Phillips. We made that $1,000 match. Thank you for your support. Listeners of Guns and Butter come through all the time. I want to give a big thank you to Yaro Mako, who saved the show today this morning when my computer crashed and titanium toast burned up. But he walked me through that. Thanks.